So much of our economy runs on oil that those numbers influence almost everything else we do. The chief executive of the British company BP is in the business of anticipating where the numbers will move. John Brown, known as Lord Brown in Britain, has to look years ahead when deciding whether to risk billions in oil and gas exploration. Each company makes its own predictions, and we heard Lord Brown's when we met him at a hotel just across from the White House. He expects oil prices to slip somewhat in the coming years.
My sense is that the prices today are high and will not be sustained and are likely to drop, and I think something around $40 a barrel is where we should expect prices to average in the medium term.
High enough to fundamentally change the economy and the way that we use energy?
I don't think so. I mean, we are actually, as a world, getting more efficient. I don't think people just stand there and take it. Necessity, price, allows for innovation, invention, and a different way of life.
Your company is making news this week by announcing more investments in alternative energy sources. You're talking about a changing energy market. You've also given a speech this week in which you underline something that you think will not change. The world gets a huge share of energy from Saudi Arabia, Iran, and Iraq. What are the implications of that?
It is inevitable that for oil, more and more of imported oil will come from West Africa, Russia, and the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and maybe one day Iraq. So there are implications, I think, in the way in which people think about security. But the biggest implication is to make sure that there are enough choices that people have of where to get oil, and these are balanced with the choices they have domestically. So it says, as Winston Churchill said, when he thought about buying the old BP in 1915, he said the point about oil supplies is diversification. That was a pretty good statement to make just about 90 years ago.
But you're saying that the various efforts at diversification to some degree aren't going to work. Those same old countries will remain a huge share of the energy market.
Well, they will remain a huge share of the oil market. There will be diversification in supplies of natural gas, and indeed in diversification in the type and nature of energy supplies which don't come from oil and gas but come from coal and from alternative energy supplies.
Do you assume that there will not be a significant cutoff or dramatic shift in energy supplies from Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Iran?
Well, I think a lot is about making sure that the world trading system works effectively and that people are drawn into the fact that there needs to be reciprocity, that trade works two ways, and that people need to believe that customers need to be there. I would say this, though, that we've gone through, even in 2005, the equivalent of a massive supply shock with the tragedies of the hurricanes in the southern United States. And in spite of all these shocks, where we lost millions of barrels a day of oil production and gas production and refinery capacity, it is the case that even today, inventories of most products and crude oil are at or above historic levels. This means that the global supply system works rather well, that inventories can be reduced, that supplies can come from elsewhere, that actually demand is responsive to price.
You don't think that, for example, a change in government in Saudi Arabia would lead to an oil shock?
What I would say is most nations need to feed their populations, and most nations therefore focus on the thing that makes them money so to do.
Your alternative energy investments in wind power and solar power, do you see those as part of a gradual dramatic change in the energy economy, or as primarily a side business that's growing?
Now, the energy economy is changing. It continues to change. It continues to go to more gas, and it continues to have more technologies that provide alternative energies. Now, how that will balance out in 50 years' time is, I think, in the realm of the huge speculation. What is clear, I think, is that customers want access to alternative energy. They want it because it can be made in a way which is much less damaging to the environment and indeed produces much less carbon dioxide, so it takes precautionary action against climate change. But it's also domestic because most alternative energy is made in the country in which it's consumed.
One other thing, Lord Brown, there's been much discussion in recent days here in the United States about Vice President Cheney's Energy Task Force meetings in 2001. It's been disclosed that oil executives did, in fact, meet with Vice President Cheney, including executives from BP America, your American branch. Did you meet with Vice President Cheney?
Not on this matter.
Or the Energy Task Force that he was heading?
No, I didn't do that. I wouldn't normally do it. But, of course, I do meet Vice President Cheney from time to time. That's hardly surprising, given that 45% of BP's activity is in the United States, and I'd expect to inform him about what we do.
What have you been telling the Vice President or other American officials that you want?
I never ask. I always say this is what we're going to do, and the consequence of what we see is the following. I've always found that's the better way. In the end, governments have to make up their own minds.
Lord Brown of BP, thanks very much.
Thank you.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.